Millions of people worldwide have suffered the effects of the dreaded COVID-19 virus. From families being separated by quarantines and loved ones being isolated to hospital beds, to the millions who have lost businesses, jobs, and even the lives of those they cherish most. It seems it is safe to say we've all been affected by this virus in one way or another. Today we talk to my father, Dr. Thomas Horn, about his journey as a COVID survivor from what was potentially fatal deep COVID pneumonia in an ICU to his continued recovery today. Welcome everybody to SkyWatch TV. I'm Joe Horn, and today we are poised to have what might be considered by some a more sobering conversation. As millions of Americans, I signaled at the onset of the program, have been affected by the dreaded coronavirus, families separated, ICU units where there are those that have been taken and removed from families and they're under lockdown and family members can't get in to see them, and they get a telephone number where maybe they get some gracious, sweethearted nurse, as was the case of my father, where you're getting these drip, drip, drips of information, but you're one of dozens all clamoring for the attention of an overworked nurse who's spread out too many hours and too many patients and these big influxes all at once that have now occupied every bed they have access to. And then You have the frontline workers. They're exhausted. Many are, in my view, underpaid. But they're the heroes in the middle of the night that go the extra mile to make sure that family members like my father are taken care of. And Tom, we were so blessed. The care that you received, and we're going to get into this in just a minute, but the care that you received was over the top. Right around the time that my father, last October, ended up in the hospital, and there was a series of events leading up to that that we think God absolutely utilized to kind of what I describe as blunt the tip of the spear, the side effects of the cytokine storm, and the spike proteins that were beginning to outpace his immune system. And we're going to talk maybe briefly about long COVID. As I've said, his recovery is still playing itself out. But so many families watching this program emailed in. The very viewers I'm talking to right now sent emails. They're praying for Tom Horn. We had ministries praying for Tom Horn. Everybody on staff fasting and praying for Tom Horn. Dad, you were one of the ones that came back home to us. But this was all happening last October, where we lost many of our friends in ministry. Viewers at home who we've never had the pleasure of meeting probably identify with the loss of a loved one or know a family that's been affected by this virus. You first started coming down with COVID in early October. Now, we didn't know that at the time, because symptomatically, COVID can mask itself as a sinus infection until suddenly it's in your lungs. And a lot of people, they know this. What was your personal experience? How did it start? What were your symptoms? How long did it take for you to realize you were maybe in some trouble?
Yeah, well, surprise of all surprises, Nita and I had gone to a horse auction, right? We were there actually looking at wagons and stuff like that. And I think that's where I picked it up, because immediately following that event, which was, you know, people shoulder to shoulder inside of a big auction barn, came home, started feeling just like a little, like I'm getting the flu or something maybe. And it escalated fairly rapidly, like a total loss of energy. I just wanted to get in bed and go to sleep and stay there. And then what happened was Nita and you insisted that I go to the hospital. I said, well, just give me one more. I'll go tomorrow. Let me go to sleep. You guys insisted, and that's where I wound up going to the hospital. And then at the hospital, they diagnosed me, I think, with the Delta variant, definitely COVID pneumonia. Even though my blood sugar is completely controlled through natural supplementation, I am still technically a diabetic. So they have me on that high risk with my age and everything
else. Your age and the fact that on paper you're a diabetic, they did not think that you had great. There was not a campaign around you that you're going to be fine. We were trying to dig out of them some prognosis of hope.
They did their standard tests and whatever, and then came in and said, you got to go to the hospital right now. And they sent me to the Cox COVID Tower, which is in Springfield, Missouri, where they send all of the really dangerous cases.
Right.
And a lot of the people that go in up there are put on ventilators, and a lot of them don't recover. In fact, the whole time that I was up there, I could hear the alarms out in the hallway going off, like, you know, multiple times per day, that somebody isn't surviving on one of their ventilators or some other situation. In fact, the head doctor, his idea of cheering me up was when I first got there, he came in the room and he said, have you been vaccinated? And I said, no, I have not. He goes, is that like some religious thing? And I said, well, yeah, partly it's a religious thing. He said, you are a great candidate for a ventilator. And he said, I'm just going to be honest with you and let you know that your case is bad and you may not survive. And it's got the main doctor.
I'm like, this is his pep talk.
Well, thanks for cheering me down, right? But what I want to say, though, before I forget, to all of the audience out there, thank you so much for all of your prayers. Prayers were coming in from around the world. Different television networks even were contacting us. So many of you are followers. And I don't believe, Joe, that you had done anything but just put a little note on Facebook or something, and it just blew up.
In the spirit of time, because there's not going to be enough time to tell the long version, you collapsed what was a two-week drama between Mom and I when you said it progressed very quickly, and then now suddenly you guys are insisting that I go to the hospital. I mean, you're glazing over multiple. In the Horn household, our first reaction is never autopilot. Go to the hospital. This was a series of my mom and I watching everything that we could do, including throw the kitchen sink at whatever this was. I was highly suspicious by the end of 7-8 days in that this was COVID.
Well, and
but
and frankly, my survival, Joe, was the result partly of stuff that you and her started doing. You took me over to Dr. Sam's, the
Wellness Healing Center. Arts Center in Branson, a huge shout out.
Yes.
They did immunotherapy after about the 1 week mark. That's right. 30 grams of vitamin C directly into the bloodstream. You can't take orally that kind of vitamin C all at once. And you did note some improvement the next day, but by then what none of us knew was you were deep into COVID pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing, and a lot of families know this is true, with COVID pneumonia, you don't necessarily have to express the cough right away.
Mm-hmm.
You go in and you're running high fevers or what have you, but then it is revealed. By the way, do you know that you've only got a half of both of your lungs left and access to carry oxygen? But getting back to what you were talking about a minute ago, the number of people praying for you, the reason that Mom and I determined the hospital was because I was on with Mark Scribner on the phone, and I'm talking to Aaron, the nurse practitioner that runs that office, and I am looking at last-ditch efforts to get him hydrated. That was where we were losing the battle. It wasn't the nutrition.
Right.
He was being pumped with zinc. He was being pumped with mushrooms. He was being given herbs like artemisinin, which is the herb that they actually synthesize ivermectin from, the Nobel Prize medication that's been proven over and over again to be effective at things like COVID. The problem was, because of his nausea and his weakness, and Mom, you know this is true, he was getting to a point, and I bring this detail up because a lot of families will resonate with this, he was getting to a point where he was willing to consent to almost anything. Sure, whatever. But he wouldn't actually comprehend what was happening to him, and he wouldn't faithfully follow through with anything.
Right.
So it's Dad, you're going to have to drink for us. You're going to have to drink for us. And I don't want to disclose too much personal information,
sure,
but there were obvious symptoms that he was becoming grotesquely dehydrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now it became, do we continue hoping that the nutrition kicks in and blunts the tip of this spear? Or do we gamble with the hydration part of it? And if his kidneys stop, it's game over.
Right.
That was where the choke point came. That was when Mom and I decided he can't get enough fluids in him. And I was talking to the people at Healing Arts about an emergency IV, and there was a consensus, it's time for the hospital. So even that's the fast version. But he goes to the hospital, and one of the most important things they were able to do for him was administer IV fluids. But his body, I believe, still carried the residues of all of these mushrooms, shiitake, reishi, turkey tail. Mm-hmm. If you're curious, go Google the power of mushrooms versus viruses. I'm not diagnosing you. I'm not making claims about how you beat COVID. I'm not doing any of that. I'm saying his body had with it a lot of the artemisinin, the zinc, the vitamin D, the vitamin C. And anybody can research this and see.
Yeah.
But where the choke point took over was the hydration.
Yeah, and in case people want to know, research on like the kind of fermented mushroom, fermented turmeric, zinc, the stuff that you had me on and that I'm still on, even the National Institute of Health, the top critical websites on health for the U.S. government,
right,
have long peer-reviewed studies showing the effectiveness of fermented mushrooms.
Right.
Even more so, they say that in many cases, more powerful than any pharmaceuticals that you can take. So I think that's what blunted the spear. As soon as I got in that hospital and after Dr. Death telling me that I was a great candidate for Tomorrowland, immediately, though, by the very next day, I started getting better. As soon as they started hydrating me, my natural immunities, which were so strong as a result of all these herbs and stuff that you guys had me on, many of which come out of Eden's Essentials.
Yeah, all of the mushrooms, the zinc, the vitamin C, that is not a shameless plug, but we are absolutely believers in our Eden's Essentials products. So when it was crisis, I was pumping them full of my own line.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that is why I am convinced two things. One, people praying for me around the world,
absolutely.
The power of prayer. And then doing the things that is also out of the Bible, and that is herbs of the field for our meats and our medicines and whatever. God created our natural immunity system to be supercharged by such, and that is what happened. Now, I know we'll run out of time. There's a few things I want to do here if I can. I also want to send a shout out to some of my friends like Steve Quayle and his wife Loretta.
Yep.
They were sending herbs and medicines and advice and had
all
of their radio audience praying for me.
They literally made their lives, I promise you, Dad, for about 48 hours. Steve and Loretta's full-time job was How Is Tom?
Yes.
They stopped everything they were doing. They had emergency backup nutrients come and via mail. They wanted to know updates.
And I can attest to that because I had to take Joe's phone away because it was blowing up so much with all of the concern. But he wasn't in the mental place to really fully deal with that. So I literally texted a few people back, hey, I've taken Joe's phone.
Yeah,
he's not going to be answering
you
for a little bit.
It was straight up too much.
We got one of those texts.
Yes, you did. There
Joe's
was a couple.
Not here. I have taken his phone.
I have taken his phone because he needs to just stop for a minute.
Other people like Carl Gallups, Pastor Carl Gallups, I will be there tomorrow. I can do anything
he was
you
serious.
Need me to do. Yeah.
He was willing to get on an airplane out of his own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to step in any role we needed. We need you to sweep the floor or cut TV, whatever in the world you need, he would do it out of pocket. So, Carl,
Rabbi Zev Porat and other people, friends out of Israel, Messianic Jewish community out of Israel, wanted us to know that people across Israel were praying for me. Morningside, of course, our friend Jim and Lori Baker, all of their staff and everybody, and Jim and Lori, sending cards and flowers and wanting us to know that they were praying for us. And then, of course, the Healing Arts Center with Mark Scribner and Dr. Matthew Sams, Daystar, Television Network, just multiple persons out of their staff, people that run their programs contacting me. Of course, our viewers and prayers, CTN, the Christian Television Network, Steve Cunningham, all of their staff contacting me. Jim Grant of the Victory Television Network.
Yeah, he went out of his way,
calling. So all of that was happening. Here's something that I have to say before we run out of time to the public in general. And that is, I started experiencing this very strange thing while I'm laying up there in the hospital, and I'm making decisions around things that, we need to prioritize if I do survive and I come down. But while I was laying up there in that hospital bed, I started experiencing what, like in the military, they call survivor's guilt. And it was because both just before and during my stay in the COVID tower, so many of our friends in ministry had died of coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I kept asking myself the question, why am I doing better all of a sudden? And soldiers do this. They come home, and they've come from a unit where they've got friends and numerous people in the unit died during the war. And then they start experiencing what they call survivor's guilt. Why was I allowed to stay alive? And in my case, of course, I'm also asking, well, God is keeping me here at least for a while for a reason. And I need to just make sure that I'm being about the Father's business,
right?
And prioritizing those things. But of the people that I would like to remember during this program, Jimmy DeYoung, the longtime prophecy television teacher, passed away just before I went to the COVID tower. Irvin Baxter, a minister and televangelist, author, Bible scholar. He hosted the internationally syndicated biblical prophecy television program, End of the Age. Russ and Shelley Dizdar.
Yeah.
Very close personal friends. Russ is in our new movie on The Great Delusion.
Yeah.
And both of them, husband and wife, both of them, and young, contracted coronavirus and passed away. Rob Skiba.
Yeah.
Yep. Nita and I actually helped Rob Skiba get started in ministry.
Yeah.
You know, met him at one of our conferences years ago, and he came up, we didn't even know who he was, came up talking about how he had been down in the Arizona desert listening to the audio series, The Days of Noah by Tom Horn and Steve Quayle. And it had revolutionized his life. And so he had, you know, he had resigned his ministry position, was going to start working on a film series called Seed. Anyway, we helped get him started. We got him on television. Another, you know, such a young guy.
Yeah.
Really young.
David Villanueva. You could tell us about him.
Well, he's a fellow in Guatemala who had reached out to us through a friend of his, had approached Sharon and me at the True Legends Conference, Steve Quayle's conference in Branson back in 2017. And said, I've got to tell you this story. This fella in Guatemala City is developing a video game, one of those massive online multiplayer video games. And he was inspired to do it by watching you and Josh Peck talking about your book, Abaddon Ascending. He was a very active guy, younger guy. He was in the military, special forces, martial arts, world-class martial artist. But through diabetes, his eyesight had begun to fail, and so his physical activity had to be limited. And that sent him into a deep depression where he just did not want to get off the couch. And so one day he's just kind of noodling through YouTube and stumbles on that program. And he said that he wound up spending 8 hours binge-watching Skywatch TV. And the creative side of him kicked in. He's always been a writer and an artist. Anyway, one thing led to another, and he had developed a game studio and had gotten to the point where they had developed some trailers for the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all inspired by Skywatch TV. And sadly, last October, he sent a note and said that, a friend of mine and I and my family are all sick with COVID. We just ask you to pray for us. And he said he thought he was getting better, but the following Tuesday, I got an email from David's daughter, and he was gone.
Yeah. And then, of course, right when I went up to the COVID tower, Marcus Lamb, the co-founder of Daystar TV. He wound up with the same thing that I had. We both literally went into the hospital on the same day, but he never came down. And that was a real shocker because I had just done this whole series, like 11 hours of programs with them on Daystar. And then they were asking me to come back. They said that the programs that we did on The Secret Destiny of America, which they gave away, the DVD, they said that that had been the most successful fundraiser in the history of Daystar.
Wow.
So Marcus was really wanting me to come back and actually wanted me to do a presentation on transhumanism and what are the what are the most recent cutting-edge developments, which I am going to be talking about at the conference coming up May 13, the virtual conference. So I come down off the mountain to find out that Marcus had passed away and so many others. But we wanted to just remember that there are so many that have been, you know, at the front of the line in terms of Bible prophecy and teaching and spiritual warfare, this awful disease. And I would say an unnecessary disease, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I believe that it was gain-of-function manufactured in a laboratory.
Absolutely.
And hopefully it accidentally escaped. I'd hate to think that it was put out there like a trial run or something. But
before we run out of time, though, Tom, I want to ask you, though, because I know the viewers at home are probably really interested to know. So you've come home now.
Mm-hmm.
You've been home for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Have you made a full recovery? If not, what are your current challenges? Do you feel 100%?
No. So I have a full recovery from the initial symptoms, so the flu-like symptoms, that sort of thing. That all went away. They had told me that it would take me a little bit of time to get my energy back. My oxygen came back until they were actually surprised how quickly my blood oxygen level started recording at 95, 97, pretty normal. But I have developed what they're calling long COVID, and it's affecting me in certain ways, like cognitive challenges. I'll immediately start losing train of thought, or I'll be sitting in front of my computer just sitting there staring at it because I can't even remember what it was I was going to do or was doing. Those kind of challenges. Also, tightness in and around my lungs continues. I'm doing this deep breathing all the time to try to take care of that. Fatigue is one of the biggest issues. Like sometimes I'll get up in the morning like I did this morning, and I can barely stand up, and I can feel that my legs are a little bit wobbly. I need to be careful. I could fall down.
Yeah.
And then I can get up the next day, and I've got way more energy, and now I'm ready to go. So it's a very strange, and you know, the science community doesn't really understand what's going on.
They're able to quantify what they see as a reaction. So like microclotting now has the attention of a lot of doctors, and that's something I'm looking into because I'm suspicious that you may be experiencing the microclotting, and that is a whole entire other show. But the point is it does explain the tightening of the chest and some of the weakness in the AM when your body's trying to pump cortisone out.
We will be doing some Eden's Essentials shows that people should look for that are going to go into more of the details where we have time to talk about long COVID, microclotting, all that, heart palpitations, even the loss of smell and foods and stuff that I used to love.
Right.
You know, now I just can't even stand the thought of them.
Yeah.
So long COVID. Now, how long will that last?
We're finding out. That's the point is that right now, and I've told my dad privately, because this is something I've been following since the very first mention of the new novel coronavirus 19, you know, before they had the science all settled. But it's something that I feel like we may never live long enough to actually be able to look retrospectively and have this neat little framework and flow charts that explain this symptom and how this manifested in this person with their bio-individuality and why it skipped over Sally but affected Susan. And I hate to say it, but we will probably encounter new variations and new viruses that take over the attention of the very people that never, ever actually get to the end of whatever this COVID nightmare is. So folks, just know that we here at Return to Eden are keeping a close eye on all these breaking new side effects, long COVID, and I promise you we're going to be putting some shows up with the best of whatever is cutting edge in terms of natural ways to mitigate some of those long-standing side effects. But before we run out of time, Nita, I want to make sure that people know they have an opportunity, switching gears now, to partner with us to help us with what we're doing at Whispering Ponies Ranch, which earlier, Dad, when you were talking about the why God may have allowed for you to be here additional time, and none of us know what amount of time any of that looks like for any one of us. But for as long as he's here, I can tell you my dad, his dream has been to help these kids at Whispering Ponies Ranch. He calls it his happy thought.
Yeah.
You know, he gets out on the John Deere and he takes the kids down to the fishing hole. Derek's beaming because he knows, you know, if you know Tom Horn, he's an author, but what he really is a guy that likes to hang around at the ranch. Like, this is his jam. Okay. We're going to continue our opportunity, extend another round of opportunities to people that want to help partner with us in our Friends of the Children Whispering Ponies Ranch ministry effort.
Well, the playground is currently under construction, and it's coming along quite nicely. It's been a little bit slowed because we've had a few days of ice, and the ground is too hard.
Sure.
But they finally got the base part of it in, and they're building out from there. We do have another little thing that we are going to share today that's been kind of top secret for a while. But I have one of my granddaughters has helped me to do some research, and we are going to be adding some new species to the ranch.
Okay. So, can you tell us which ones, or is that top secret?
At Whispering Ponies Ranch, so the ponies will still have their primary program that they do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They will be our work animals. We are bringing in some alpacas and probably a couple of little tiny goats, little ones, and a couple of little sheep. That's our plan. The alpacas will be arriving on Sunday. They're very sweet. And the one thing I'll say just real quick that I know Kate would share is that some of the kids that have come to scratch on the horses have allergies to horses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These alpacas are hyperallergenic.
So very quickly, though, the ministry benefit, the therapeutic parts of having an alpaca on the ranch, for those that may not even know, what is an alpaca?
It's part of the camel family, but it's a smaller version. They're very small, very soft to touch, and very, very interesting. Very interesting character.
So would you frame this new addition to Whispering Ponies Ranch as almost more of a, I hate to use the phrase petting zoo, but it's
more of a sanctuary, actually, because we have a couple of little horses that are, they've been retired from program due to illness, and one of them has Cushing's and the other one is a borderline, but we've retired them, and we've got a couple of other little horses, actually, that have also issues. We have one that has a heart murmur and one that has an off bite. And so these little animals are still valuable in what we do at the ranch. Mm-hmm. They still have a therapeutic value. But because we have these animals that you can't, they can't pull carts, they can't do things, they can't work like our workers. Uh-huh. They are going to be in part of our little area that we're calling sanctuary, which will be where we bring in all our other little species of animals.
Yeah, so for the sole purpose to both give and receive affection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, based on the science, and there's a lot of studies around how animals can help children therapeutically, mm-hmm. Dealing with, trying to
anxiety.
Overcome the damage of abuse and other things like that. So,
and it fundamentally has to do with trust, the distrust of humans, but when you incorporate animals, they'll start to loosen up and have dialogue with their counselors because there's an animal present. Mm-hmm. We don't have time for the show that would go into all the psychology, but tell us again, though, Tom, in this opportunity, there is a Bible, mm-hmm. and there's a limited number of these.
Yeah.
So this may be your last opportunity to get in on this effort here.
So here's the deal. Need a forklift to pick up this Defender Family Bible. It's the only one of its kind.
Show the spine, though. This is a behemoth Bible.
Yeah.
Massive Bible.
Only one of its kind in the world. One-time limited print edition. We are not going to print it again. If somebody wants this Bible, and you should... nothing like it's been published in over 200 years. I mean, it is the full red letter edition King James version of the Bible, but it also has the expanded Apocrypha, over a dozen books from antiquity, including the Book of Enoch. Why should you care? Jerusalem Post this week, evidence of biblical giants found in northern Israel. If you want to know where all that comes from, you got to read the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, the Books of Jubilees. And so here it is, all in one print. And so anybody that sends a $300 donation to help us get the playground mm-hmm. at Whispering Ponies Ranch finished, we're going to send them a copy of this. Now, for anybody that makes a $1,000 donation or more, we're going to send them the Bible. We're also inviting them this year to a tour of Whispering Ponies Ranch in the fall. And we're going to take a huge group shot of who we're calling the Friends of the Children. Mm-hmm. So it'll be all of our staff, and then it'll be all the people that have made donations for the playground.
Right.
We're going to get a giant group shot. That'll go on a plaque that'll stand at the entrance to the playground acknowledging the Friends of the Children, which made that possible. During that tour, we're also going to have a banquet in what we call the Pony Building, but it's our big lodge building. We're going to have a banquet there for those who donated to this. And then we're also giving them a $300 gift certificate that they can use in whatever way they want inside of the store. Help us get the playground for the children done this year.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, it's that time every week where we've run completely out of minutes to talk for everybody in the studio, everybody on panel. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back next week.